So good evening. I'd like to encourage you to come in and grab a seat if you can. And before we get started, I'd love to just open us with a word of prayer. Lord, we gather here tonight for some of us after much work, for some of us after much thought, for others of us just arriving. And Lord, we call upon you as one who reveals himself as both a refuge and a strength, as our comfort and as our courage. And so we pray tonight that as we think about what it means to be a community and to engage this topic tonight, we pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us, for you are here. Where three or four or 200 are gathered, you are there in our midst. We pray that we might see you as we listen and as we share and as we receive the gifts that you desire to give to us this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on in and grab a seat. You don't need to stand in the back. Yeah. You know, as we start tonight and think about this language, a vision of we, and drawing upon Romans 12, verse 5, where we are reminded a little bit about what our identity as a we is. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. Bonhoeffer, in reflecting upon this kind of idea, this kind of understanding, also speaks of Christian community in this way. He says that Christian community is founded solely on Jesus Christ. And in fact, it already exists in Christ. It is not an idea which we must realize. Rather, it is a reality created by God in Christ, in which we may participate. So as we gather here tonight with a sense and understanding of who we are, that ultimately our life, our community, is something that God has created, and we can either choose to participate and live into that or not. And my hope is that tonight we will actually choose to participate in this fact and in this reality as we engage and discuss and share on what has been, for many, a challenging topic. As I first spoke about this and speaking about it, saying that it is both a larger reality than many of us dare often to think, that it in fact invites us to consider the scope and the reach of the gospel in our lives. It's an invitation to think about the extent of our own discipleship and also to reach beyond the reaches of even what we consider to be our mission enterprise. That it's larger in that sense, but also that it's personal. And so tonight we'll have a chance to share a little bit of what that personal reality is. And lastly, I shared a number of weeks ago, I guess months now, that this is a process that we want to invite the Holy Spirit into. And I want to just acknowledge that this is a process, that tonight what we have really is the first of a series of gatherings that we hope to invite everyone to come back to. And if you aren't able to make one, then there will be recorded and we'll have them available to those who aren't able to be here or who miss one. And throughout the last couple of weeks, a number of people have asked me, so what's the end game? Where are we really headed? And I think sometimes when we ask that question, it's as if there's sort of a preloaded ending point. And really what we're inviting you to is inviting you into a process. As we consider as a session that we want to have a time where our congregation can speak and share, where we are here listening and learning together, and perhaps there will be some decisions that our session, our leadership is called upon to make. And we hope that it is a process of discernment, that it flows out of having educated ourselves and listened to one another. And so there really isn't some sort of hidden secret endpoint agenda that we're aiming for or toward. Beyond really to try to articulate a set of values, perhaps, as much as we can possibly affirm together. And perhaps then also a set of practices that we might engage and love, a set of resources to respond as a community to this reality in our own midst. So I want to just draw your attention also, you got a handout when you came in tonight, hopefully, and just want to kind of give you a sense of the overarching process that we have unfolding. We are beginning tonight what we are calling the learning phase, the listening and learning phase. This is sort of the public process, and it begins tonight, and we'll run through May with a series of gatherings that are outlined there. We have the dates there, and the first three are pretty well formed. A vision of we on November 2nd, Reformed tradition, really a chance for us to think about the sources of authority in our life as Reformed Christians, to see that a part of our understanding of the authority of Scripture in our life and how it speaks with an authoritative voice into our life, and also the decision-making bodies of the church and how authority rests and resides in the church. Then on February 8th, we'll have a chance to reflect upon generous empathy. How do we inhabit one another's perspectives and really try to learn and listen from the inside? And then we'll be engaging through the rest of the spring and really looking a little bit in more focused fashion on a biblical theology and conversation with topics like gender, sexuality, sexual orientation, marriage, and leadership. We'll have a chance after that to summarize some of those thoughts, and then really we'll go into a process where the leadership of the church will be encouraged to discern and articulate what are the things that we can, in fact, affirm together? Where are we headed? What sort of processes? What sort of practices? And then lastly, we'll be re-engaging a public process and a chance to reaffirm together. So that's sort of the overarching idea. And before I turn it over to Mark, who's going to walk us through some of the small group time, I wanted to just remind us of some language that we use here a lot, that we are a Christ-centered church. That there are lots of different things that we talk about, lots of different things and realities that mark our life together and challenges that we face and disagreements, but that when it comes, push comes to shove, we are a Christ-centered church. And just to sort of offer an image of that or a description of that, I just want to show a brief video that fairly quickly kind of summarizes what we mean by that. And this was language that was coined initially by cultural anthropologist Paul Hebert, and we'll be hearing tonight from a pastor who's describing this reality. And then I want to just make two points after we show this brief video, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mark to lead us into sort of the next little phase of our time together. So just watch the screen behind me. It moves fairly rapidly, but I hope that I can tease out the two points that I hope we'll walk away with. So
imagine two sorts of sets. One might be best pictured as a circle. We call it a bounded set. The other one you might best picture as a dot. In circles, you're either inside of it or you're outside of it. So I'm a man. If you're a woman, you're outside of my circle. Tough luck. Nothing you can do about that. I'm a Bostonian. That's a much more limited circle. I'm tall. I'm more than 6 feet tall. Obviously, as we keep going with circles, our circles only include us. Centered set, there's a dot in the middle, which is anything that you're centering your set around, and then every other dot represents all the other people on Earth. And the issue there is movement. Are the other dots moving towards the center dot or away from it? So imagine that these two sorts of sets represent ways to think about religion. In a bounded set, you're either inside of it or you're outside of it. Bounded sets are challenging for many people who are outside of the sets because they don't particularly want to jump into the bounded set because it feels cultural. So if I was like a Bengali Muslim and you were an Illinois Baptist and you said, hey, jump into my Illinois Baptist waters, it tastes great in here, you're gonna love it, I might feel like, wow, that involves a pretty big step. It's not just whatever you might think about God or about Jesus. It actually involves being an Illinois person and being a Baptist and maybe how I would vote and maybe how I would dress and maybe my opinions about a ton of things all would be involved in making that step. On the other hand, think about it from the dot perspective. So let's say for our purposes, the center dot would be Jesus. The only issue then in this set is whether or not all the other dots on Earth are moving towards Jesus or away. Maybe they're going this direction or this direction, as opposed to going right towards that center dot. What you're trying to do there is, if you believe that Jesus, the center of the set, is important, you're trying to help people turn their arrows wherever they are, whether they're close to the middle or way, way off, towards that set. Let's say I'm 4 feet from the center of the set, who is Jesus. And let's say someone else is way over there back in the background, way across the river, but they have just turned their arrow towards the center, and I'm veering just a little bit. The theory would be, in this sense, they're better off than me. that I have benefits for being so close. The second I turn back, there's going to be lots of great things. But the issue is just which way are you turning? I think the practical impact of this for us has been pretty significant. In other words, that we don't spend a whole lot of time trying to help people change their opinions about lots of things. What we're trying to help people do is have an experience, an encounter with the center, in our case, Jesus, that's meaningful enough that they would feel like, that's great, I want more of that. Rather than giving people points of theology or opinion that we want them to think about, we try to encourage people to do things, to try something, and see if they get enough feedback from God or from Jesus that would keep validating that choice to keep going forward.
So in thinking about that sort of a notion, that sort of a visual, when you think about the church as a boundaried set, the relationships become somewhat transactional at the border. But when you think of it as a centered set, again, it's not so much about the movement toward the sort of situation, the location that is, sort of where you are or how close you are. Because truth be told, when we're talking about the center being Jesus and us, save and apart from Jesus, we all are very far away. And yet also, because of Jesus, we are very, very near. And really, the point that I want to tease out for us tonight is more about movement. Are we moving toward that center? And are we directing our lives and our hearts and our attention toward that center, which is Christ? Are we moving toward him, and are we looking toward him? Essentially, are we seeking Christ? And are we seeking to be more and more fully devoted and submitted to him? So with that said, I want to turn it over to Mark to kind of lead us into a little bit more clarity about our time together in small groups tonight.
One piece of wisdom that I was given many years ago, when you enter into these kind of discussions talking about your experience, which some people are really happy to talk about and other people are worried to talk about, that in the church, often we think of our experience of Christ, as Ian was mentioning and you saw on the video, is that while that is true, the real focus is the Christ of our experience. And what that means for us in the midst of our groups tonight is to use a phrase that Jesus uses in Luke 22. He says, "I am among you as one who serves." So our hope and prayer tonight is that we receive not simply the words and listen to what others are saying about the question that is on the table, but that we're actually letting Christ speak to us about these things. And that he is the one who serves. And I wrote these things down. As one who releases our ears to hear. Christ as the one who releases our ears to hear. Christ is the one who reveals what is yet unseen. And Christ is the one who holds the space that we cannot. You know when you get into a discussion with someone and it gets a little tense or it gets a little upset, you want to try to kind of control that situation? You get a little nervous and you're kind of like, well, what can I say now in order to make it quiet down? Christ holds that space. Christ holds that space. And it is our prayer that he will hold that space, not only tonight, but throughout these conversations that we have. So you're wondering, how is this all going to work? Well, let me tell you. Here's how it's going to work. And we thought this through, and we've done this as a staff, we've done this as a session, and this seems to work out pretty well. One, each of you will have 5 minutes to respond to the question. The question, what are the formative experiences that have shaped your understanding of issues related to gender, sexuality, and marriage? 5 minutes. Each person will take a turn to share that if they so wish. At that point, everyone else just simply relaxes in the presence of Christ and just listen. Listen to what you hear. Be present with open mind, open will, and open heart. You may want to be listening for the following if you're a person who likes directions. So here's some of the things you could be listening for. Do you hear any reoccurring patterns of personal experience? Do you feel any significant areas of tension when a person is talking? Are there any resonating words or phrases or moments of insight that flash to you? You will have paper to write these things down. Is there anything else that you find worthy to note? So everyone gets 5 minutes. Everyone else listens. Listen for what you hear. After we share tonight, you will have the opportunity to respond to what you have heard. Each of you will receive a card like this, a blank 3x5 card, and you'll be invited by your group facilitator to share insights and reflections. And the way in which you can respond to that would be to finish this statement. Over the last hour, I heard. We would like to have these responses so that the session, we as a session, can respond and read them. So you will return these back to your facilitator, and they will put them in their packets so that we can get them back. So this is your way, through this conversation, to help us understand what you heard and get that back to us. Okay?
So I'd like to go over some of the ground rules of what will happen in those small groups. Our hope is that as each of us are gathered in a small group, that we come into that space with open mind, open will, and open heart. We want to maintain a prayerful stance with an open heart towards one another, really to come into that space with the eagerness to hear one another. And there's no crosstalk, which means if someone is talking and you may have an opposing or a different point of view, you can't talk to them. It's 5 minutes for that person to say completely what they need to say. No follow-up questions to that as they share. And confidentiality. We want to preserve confidentiality in these groups. So really not to talk about anything that you hear in those groups outside. That's really important. You know, when we're going to be in groups where we don't have our spouse, or it's going to be random, completely random. And so as those who are sharing, I just want to note this, that you don't know who these people are. So you want to moderate what you say. I don't think you want a therapeutic session in that 5 minutes. At the same time, we want honesty. We want a level of your honesty. So both those things. And then to trust that those who are in your group will hold deeply and carefully, very carefully, those things that are shared and honor each other in that. We really, this cannot happen unless we decide to do that and jointly decide it is a vision of we. And so that's our hope in these groups. And so we want to begin with Lexio. We want to look at Philippians 2, 1 through 5, but I'm going to ask you to actually put all your papers down. I know there's been a certain level of anxiety, and so we really want Jesus to be present with us. So if you could put papers down. And I'm just going to ask for a couple seconds, maybe half 30 seconds of complete silence, that you can speak to God in this moment. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 will be read twice, very slowly. So as you hear these words, listen for what God may be saying to you. I'll read it first one time, and then I'll ask you the second time to hear a word, a phrase, or image that arises out of that scripture passage, to hold on to that, to listen to what God may be saying in that word, or phrase, or image. And then we'll end with a time of silence. And then we're going to ask you to partner with someone right next to you to share that word, phrase, or image that comes to you. And then from there, we will dismiss quickly to our groups. People will have signs with different room numbers. So hear the word of God. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hear this passage again and listen for a word, a phrase, or image that comes to you. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love. Being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're grateful for your word that speaks. And we pray for us as a congregation, as a family, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us. So be present in our conversations tonight, we pray. Amen. So if you would take a few minutes to share with the person sitting next to you, two or three in a group, to share that word, phrase, or image. At the end of that time, I'll call us back together, and then the facilitators will have signs with this their numbers. They will go out to the side, on the side, and if you can quickly and quietly move out of your sharing to those groups so that we can move into our conversations with that prayerful attitude of Philippians 2. So please share with one another.
So we're thrilled that you guys are coming in. We'd love to have everybody back here for our closing. I don't know about you, but I felt like we were on really holy ground in the last hour. I don't think often in our church we actually tell stories that are that personal or about things that actually can be quite so controversial. And if your group was anything like mine, God really did open up a space and Christ was present there. At least it was for me and how I was observing the other people in the room. And I hope that you will hold the stories you've heard, the experiences people have shared with grace and particularly with confidentiality. These are very precious stories that have been trusted. And what's amazing is that Christ was not only present in your little circle, but Christ was filling this whole entire campus with a sense of we belong to him. And because we belong to him, as our membership affirmations say, we belong to each other. And what a great place of trust that we can find ourselves when we trust that Christ is in the center. And when we can belong to him, we can actually trust him to hold us as we have the difficult conversations ahead. So let us stop and be grateful for this holy and sacred place where God has brought us tonight, and where God, we still, that same God's going to be with us as we walk this journey over these next few months. So let us just take a moment and be thankful and give God the praise. Will you pray with me? Lord, as many of us have been meditating on your word, and we hear those words about the same mind, we wonder how that will be possible when many of our experiences, when our theological perspectives may be different, when our understandings of Scripture may differ and diverge. And yet, we choose to follow you, to turn ourselves towards you, not only as individuals, but as a church, and trust that somehow, because it is your mind and your heart and your soul that we seek, that you will be present, that you will guide, and that somehow, as the scriptures say, all things are held together in you, that we will be able to forge our way through these conversations because you are our leader. You are our Lord. And so we want to give you thanks and praise for the space that you created tonight, for the ways that you helped some of us who are strangers to one another be able to share some fairly personal things about a topic called gender, sexuality, and marriage. We give you thanks and praise because you modeled for us how to hold each other's stories in humility. You showed us how to honor one another. And you invited us into a space where your lordship is the most powerful glue that holds us together as a church. And for this, we give you great thanks and praise. And it is for your glory. And for the sake of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. It's my job to play the teacher and to be the one to tell you that you have homework leaving tonight. How many of you like that? We have homework for you. And this is actually an interesting experiment because we're not really sure how this is going to work, but we hope you'll embrace it. One of the great questions that we are called, one of the great commissions that we're given is that we are called to be a witness out into the world. We're called to go. And we are called to actually listen to the people that God has given in our circumstances, in our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, wherever. And we're called to actually go and be Christ in those places. And one of the things as we listen in this conversation, it's important that we actually listen to the people, not only to our people inside our church, but the people outside our church on this issue. And not because we're giving them authority over us, but just because the very people we're called to love, whether it's on this issue or not, we're always called to listen to our neighbor and then try in the ways that God has called us in each of our uniqueness to bear witness to the glory and grace of God with those people. So what we would like you to do is in the next 2 or 3 weeks to be praying about and then ask this question that we've asked you tonight to someone in one of your circles. To sit down over a cup of coffee or maybe over lunch. It could be a relative, it could be a coworker, it could be anybody. And we're not saying you have to talk to anybody who has this as an issue, but just to be a listening posture and ask this question of them. What are the formative experiences that have shaped your understanding of issues of gender, sexuality, and marriage? Did the anxiety level just go up? We rarely talk about the things that matter to people, but one of the great critiques of the church is actually this issue. The great critique is that the church doesn't care about what anybody out in the world thinks and has no compassion. So we just want to do it as a listening exercise. You're not in that conversation to convince them of anything. You're just being invited to listen to someone in your life tell you about their formative experiences and how they come to this sort of place. Next step, of course, would be to pray that God gives you a chance to share the gospel with that person. But the homework is simply to ask the question and then to entrust the Holy Spirit to where that may go. I would encourage you to do one thing and do this every day to pray about this. This isn't a haphazard. Trust that God will lead you to the person to have this conversation and then prayerfully hold that conversation as you're having it. I guess there's a second thing I'd love for you to do. And that is, and I haven't even asked Ian this, but I'm hoping that out of this, you will write up whatever that encounter was about. Just how it was, what you found out, whatever, and send an email to Ian. I love having the mic. I can say anything I want. Oh. No, actually, I think it would be helpful for us. We'll capture this again. This is just part of our witness. How do we not only engage in these conversations here, but how do we have them out in our communities? And that means just asking an open-ended question. Just like tonight, asking the question and letting someone share. Don't critique, don't crosstalk. Have a conversation and just listen to what their story might be. So that as we come in, one of the greatest things that we're called to do is to have this conversation as a family conversation, but we're also having this conversation as an evangelistic conversation. And we always are needing to listen to what is out there in the world and how we're called to express the gospel to people who think quite differently than we do on things, don't even take the same issues of authority. And how do we then formulate how we speak, who we are as a community that reaches out in love to people that are different from us and who may not call Jesus Lord? So that's the homework assignment. I would really encourage you to do this in the next 2 weeks, if you feel so led. Can we make a date that by Halloween you'll try and have this conversation in the bag? And if not, don't wait till Thanksgiving. I don't want to hear that at your Thanksgiving dinner table. This was the conversation that blew up the room. So, anyway, enjoy the assignment.
And if you email those to me, I'll forward them to Debbie. That's fine. Yeah. No, I just want to say tonight that really the goal of the evening was really a chance to begin this conversation by listening to one another. And by sitting with the stories that were shared, and perhaps it was a similar experience, it felt like holy ground, perhaps it was an anxiety-producing experience, perhaps you felt on the spot or consoled in some way, really just to sort of sit with these stories together is our hope. But I also want to invite you to come back in a couple weeks, where what we also will do is spend some time thinking about the tradition of the church, the stream of the church in which we stand, and the kinds of things that we look to speak into our lives. Not just the stories that we share, but also the larger story that we have a sense that we are participating in. The story of God's work in the world, the story that is told to us in the scriptures, that it might also inform us as we seek to understand and live into a deeper understanding of how these conversations can deepen our own sense of discipleship, of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and also what it means to bear witness to him in the world in which we live. So I'd like to invite you to come back on November 2nd, and we'll have another chance to talk. We won't be breaking out into small groups that time. We'll have an interactive component to that, but it will be more an opportunity to really deepen our understanding of the Reformed tradition that we stand in, and the role of Scripture, and also the role of the church and its leadership and authority, and how decisions are made as we think about this conversation issue too. So that said, I just also want to appreciate the fact that we've prayed several times throughout the night, but I just want to close our time together by bathing this evening again once more in prayer and asking God to go with us now. Let's pray together. Lord, how grateful I am. The community, the body, your body, the church, isn't an ideal for us to live into, but it is a fact. It's something that you have wrought, that you have fashioned, and that you have made. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people that each and every day look for ways to participate in that fact, to grow in love in the midst of that reality, and to extend its reach and its bounds, that others too might know what it means to have their identity fixed and founded in Christ, and to be adopted sons and daughters of you, our King. Lord, we pray as we go forth from this place, as we take with us the memories and the reflections from our time tonight, that you would continue to comfort us, that you would continue to be a refuge for us, that you would also perhaps embolden us and grow us and cause us to reflect and to think more deeply about who you are and who you call us to be, that we might be a people that are marked by your love and by your lordship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thanks for joining us.